Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Now, this morning's message is, you know, when I gave the topic to the team about what we'll be ministering on this morning, I think that, it's not going to be necessarily what you expect. I am talking about the last days, but that can be defined very, very differently, because nobody knows when it's your last days or my last days, right? You know, our days are numbered on this earth, and only God knows. He's the only one that knows, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith, of our lives. He knows everything. So the only one who really knows what's happening with your life is him. But it is important, because the Bible does give us insight as to what the end will look like. The good news is that if you're a believer in Christ, you will end up in victory, which is awesome. The book is finished. It has been written. The destiny of this earth has been defined in Scripture. But there is something that we need to understand. And it doesn't matter how clever you are, how brilliant minded you are, and how much you've studied, there are certain things you will never know. And there will always be differences of opinions. And some will sound really good, and so will others. But the way that we express ourselves to the world, and even to the church, to fellow Christians, is really, really important. Because the truth is, you were called to be a witness of Christ and his resurrection. We always have to ask ourselves the question, what kind of expression are we? You know, when people ask me about a different ministry, if they say to me, well, Pastor Alex, what do you think about that ministry? Or what do you think about that ministry? I always ask, what type of expression do they have? What do they minister on? What do they speak about? Are they attacking other churches all the time? Because if they are, I won't want to support that. Do you understand? Is there fruit on the tree? You know, so what is the expression? The question you have to ask yourself this morning is, don't think about others this morning. Think about yourself. What kind of expression are you putting out? And right now on the planet, I don't think in our time, maybe before, but not in our time, there has ever been a more desperate situation on the earth, where people are desperately looking for answers. And one of the places they will naturally go to, because God has created us to be that way, one of the places they will naturally go to is the church, to look for answers. Unfortunately, a lot of the expression coming from the church right now is really confusing. Am I the only one that feels this way? Listen, I study a lot, so I look at all kinds of stuff, different churches, different messages, different commentaries. I'm always looking. Excuse me. Don't worry. I don't have coronavirus. I've already had it, okay? So I'm trying, you know, always to see what's going on. I'm always studying. I'm always looking. And right now, the noise that comes from the church is a very confusing noise in many, many ways. At the same time, I believe God is preparing the church for an incredible move of His Spirit. Okay. Now, on the earth right now, with everything going on, you know, I actually did this actually at home this morning, where she was last night. No, it was this morning. I actually took one of the masks and I cut it in half. And half was open and half was a mask. And I thought, I'm going to wear it and show you guys. You know, with everything going on, why is it that we as the church have to get involved with all the arguments that the world is busy having? You know, you may have an opinion about certain things, and that's okay, because you have a right to feel a certain way, and you might even be right. But how are you expressing that? Are you expressing it in a way that shows love, kindness? Listen, in this church, if you want to wear a mask, please feel free to do so. No one will judge you. And if you don't wear a mask, it's the same thing. But if you go and you criticize or take someone on for wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, shame on you. Because your expression is not his expression. Okay, now I know I'm going to be stepping on some toes, but you know what? I want to help you because I want to help the church, not our church, the church. Over the last few months, I've heard so much stuff. I was sent hundreds of emails. I was sent a message last week from someone sending me an email about how the vaccine is like the most demonic, evil thing that Satan has ever created. Not the virus. The virus is okay now. Now it's the vaccine. Now the vaccine is the 666 and the mark of the beast. Listen, if you have done all the scientific research from people that really do know what they're talking about, not some person who thinks they have an idea, because so much garbage is being put out there. And you need to be very, very careful because there are certain people that may feel the vaccine is for them. Don't go out there and criticize and run them down and talk to them as though now they're going to hell. Because your expression is really not good. As a believer, your expression is not good. And I'm going to give scripture to back all this up, what I'm saying. Is that okay? Don't worry, it doesn't talk about the vaccine. I'm not talking about that, all right? I'm just giving you some food for thought. Some people have even said that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Well, I can happily debunk that. That's absolutely not true. Okay? Now, please, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, I ran down here and I said, listen, if they force me to take the vaccine, I will take it. I will pray over it. Lord, you said if I drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm you. Let them put it in my arm, and I know I'll be fine. Maybe you won't be fine, but I will be fine. Okay? Afterwards, there was an email or a message sent out about Pastor Alex is getting the vaccine or something ridiculous. No, that's not what I said. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. If I have to get it, I don't feel I need to. I've had the virus. So the antibodies are in my body already. Okay? And don't worry, I didn't give it to you. Relax. My mother-in-law gave it to me at home. Okay? She got it. She gave it to me and I quarantined for 2 weeks. I didn't breathe on you and give you the virus. Okay? I just have to be very clear because some people are like, oh, I knew it was him. My mother-in-law got sick. As soon as she got symptoms, we quarantined. We found out she had it. A few days later, actually, it was a day later, I started getting symptoms. I got tested 5 days later, had the virus. For me, it was very, very light, praise God, and that's the end of that. Okay, so my house, we're all fine. We've all had it, we've all recovered, all right? But now I want to say, you know, so now we're talking about the vaccine and all this stuff and the mark of the beast and all this stuff. And I'm amazed at how people become so aggressive about it. How they become so assertive. And even now there are people sitting looking at me so angry because they are so sure. Have you not read this? I don't need to read it. I don't need to read it. I get as much scientific information about what it's about, and I'll make a decision based on that. Are you with me? Yes. So you, dear believer, fellow believer that I dearly love so much, make sure you do your research and make your decision based on that. Not from some flaky Christians that talk a whole lot of rubbish. Is that okay? Go and find out from people that really know what they're talking about. And then make your decision based on that. Of course, I don't want to be controlled. Of course, I don't want them to set a precedent. There's certain things I totally don't agree with. 100%, that's my opinion. But my expression will not be one that of aggression. My expression will not be one where I'm coming against people, where I'm fighting, and the world looks at the Christians and goes, look at them. Look at them. All right. As for where we are right now, there's an enormous debate about where we are in God's timeline. The truth is that most people believe, very, very honestly, that we are close to the end times. Most people believe that. But I need to say this to you, that there have been incidents on the earth hundreds of years ago where they believed the same thing. Now, in my spirit and prophetically what I feel, I do feel like we are close. What my close is and what God's close is are two very different things. So he's the one who decides. Are you with me? So let's take a look at what the Bible says. Let's start with this morning. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1, verse number 3. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 3. As I urged you and I went into Macedonia, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I love the way he talks to Timothy because he's telling them, listen, I want you to be bold. I want you to charge them that they preach no other doctrine but the doctrine and the truth of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Then he says this, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies. In other words, let's not get into all the stuff that's really just a distraction, because he says in the second part of the verse, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. In other words, a lot of the stuff that we're getting up to as the church and arguing about right now causes no good. In fact, what it does is it causes disputes. Do you know that I saw a program where one was pre-trib and one was post-trib and they got into a nasty argument? Who cares? I have my opinion. I firmly believe in a pre-trib rapture. But if it doesn't happen, hallelujah, we're going to go through it. Glory, hallelujah. Here's the truth. You will never know for sure. You can be as dogmatic and as positive as you want to be, but you will never know for sure. So why do we need to argue about it? Why do we need to fight about it? Why do we need to prove our point about it? I love teaching on the book of Revelation. In fact, I'm preparing a sermon series now on 7 messages to the church. And we're going to go into that. That's all end time stuff. I love looking at it. I'm a firm believer in pre-trib rapture. But you know what? I'm not going to sit Dr. Michael Brown. He's post-trib. Poor guy. Anyway, that's his opinion. But I'm happy to laugh about it. And then tell him that, listen, when I've been raptured, he'll still be here. That's okay. Because that's the punishment for post-trib people. They stay behind. I'm just kidding. I'm joking, okay? What I'm saying is that will not affect your eternity, nor will it your neighbor. So why don't we express ourselves the way that Christ expressed himself? Let's take a look a little further. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord. I want you to understand, when he uses that word charging them, he really is basically giving a command, and he uses it in other places where he says, before the Lord, before angels. In other words, it's a very serious command that I'm giving you now. When he says, I'm charging you, or I'm charging them, it's a serious command. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. What do they do? They ruin the hearers. And the last thing we need is someone that's young in the Lord or just coming to faith. And now they go on and they start looking at Christian forums and Christian things. And they see you and they saw you in church lifting your hands. And you look like such a godly person. And this person might have their opinion about. And now all of a sudden they see you and they see the way you're aggressive. They see the way you fight. And then I even see how Christians begin to support it. Well, Pastor Alex, you need to say something about the masks. You need to say something. No, I don't. Why should I? I have an opinion. I do. But is it going to, it's not going to kill anybody. Are you with me? If you don't want to wear a mask when you go somewhere, then don't go there if they make you wear a mask. Are you with me? All right. It's very quiet and very deep. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. Let's go. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. And again I say, do not get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. Do you know that there are friendships that I'm aware of in the church that are no longer friends because they disagreed about stuff regarding coronavirus? Are you serious? People have left the church because they don't agree. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Now watch. But must be kind to everyone, even those you don't agree with. Must be able to teach, but when you do so, do it in love. Do it in the right attitude. Do it the way that Jesus would do it. You can be firm about your position, but what is your expression? And be patient with difficult people. God, help me with that one. But the fact is, you're going to face some difficult people. And the Bible tells us to be patient with them. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Now, I want you to see something, because this is very interesting, this part of the scripture. He actually tells us to gently oppose or gently instruct those who oppose the truth. He's not even talking about stuff that we don't know what's right or wrong. And he tells, when it comes to the truth, that someone who's opposing the truth, to gently instruct them. How much more when we don't even know what's really right or wrong? You now have your opinion, and you're not, and now you'll gently instruct about the word of God, which is the truth. But when it comes to your opinion, brother, out comes the whip. Now, once you, anyway, let's just keep going. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Understand, guys, that when someone doesn't have the truth in them, they have the false in them. And in other words, they've been captivated by what is not truth. And we want them to turn from what isn't true so that they will walk in the light. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I have a desperate goal to see this city saved. I have a desperate goal to see people come to the Lord and encounter His presence and encounter His goodness and encounter His love. But if we can't be a true, kind, loving expression, how can the world get saved through you? That it's the hands and feet of Jesus. Please, I want you to understand, you're entitled to your opinion, but make sure that when you express it, you do it in a way that is kind, that is gentle, that is helpful, not harmful. Now, as for the coming of the Lord, let's see what the Bible has to say about this. And what I'm going to teach you this morning, because this is really, that was for free. We're actually going to get into the message now. Please, church, never forget what you're about to hear. Most of you know this, but I want you to never forget this. Because this is the word of God, truth, and Jesus is the one who says this more than once. Take a look. Matthew 24, verse number 3. Now we sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Let's just stop there for 1 minute. I want you to know that it's not saying that many will come and say, I am the Christ. Because no one would be stupid enough to believe that. Many will come, and look at what it says with a capital I am the Christ. In other words, many will come and teach you that Jesus is the Christ. Do you see it? Many will come and say that Jesus is the Christ. And even while doing that, deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Many times where there have been wars in the past, people have said, the Lord is coming now. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence. Pestilence, by the way, is a plague. Like the coronavirus. In other words, these things will happen. he says that will happen. He says there will be earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. What do you think they thought when there were plagues before? So what makes you so special that you think it's now? Now it might be now. But the fact of the matter is we have to continue living. We have to continue moving forward. We have to continue. You know, a young person has a plan for his life and has to plan for his future and wants to, you know, wants to go to college and wants to become a scientist or wants to become a pastor or wants to become, a lawyer or something like that. But if we carry on telling them, listen, you know, by the time 2023 comes, brother, it's all over. Sorry, my son. You know, just hang out with dad. You know, you'll be fine. The anointing will be there. Everything will be good and you'll make it to heaven. No, I want him to plan for, I want him to have a future. I want him to dream. I want him to believe that God has a plan for him. Now we will begin to see things and we must prepare. Let's go to Matthew 24 verse 36. So what do we know about the end? But of that day and hour, no one knows. Everyone say no one.
No one.
Say it again. That means no one. There is no way to break this down, guys. That means no one. So I don't care what prophet, I don't care what pastor, I don't care what teacher, I don't care what rabbi, I don't care who it is that tells you, oh no, it will be that day. They do not know. They do not know. The Bible says no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So who knows when that hour and day will be? Oh, well, you know, that's not what the rabbis meant. You know, they were talking about tabernacles, and because it was tabernacles on that specific year, we don't know what day tabernacles will fall on. So that's what they mean. Rubbish. You watch too much Facebook and YouTube. Don't believe all the rubbish you see on the internet. That's a new teaching. That has never been taught by all the rabbis of old. It's clear, no one knows. And I'm so glad he did it that way. No one will know. So that you can still live your life. So that you can still plan. In humility, God willing. In fact, James teaches us that we should not talk about tomorrow as though we're going to have it. And that's the point. We should always remain in a posture of humility and take it one day at a time. And just get through today. But at the same time, still plan for tomorrow, God willing. Now watch, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. There's the only clue. We're not going to get into that today. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Now watch, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Do we know the hour? No. Who knows the hour? No one. No one knows. No one knows. He says, but know this. Now watch. That if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The moral of the story is that you and I should be ready always. And we should watch out that our expression on the earth is His expression at all times. Because when the kitchen gets hot and things, the pressure begins to build, that's when you'll see what's really in your heart. And the expression that we as the church need to give the world right now is one of love, one of peace, one of joy. Yes, we stand by what we believe. We don't agree with foolishness, with foolish things. Listen, there are some things that just really, it's just really foolish, okay? But at the same time, I'm going to make sure that my expression is one that Jesus would want me to have. Matthew 24, verse 44. I'm almost done. I'm going to read two stories and I'm going to close. Are you guys okay? I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. You also must be ready when? So when do you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord? All the time. Because even if he doesn't come for the whole world today, he might come for you. He might come for me. I have a dear friend evangelist of mine that passed away 2 weeks ago from the coronavirus suddenly, 50 years old. Never ever saw it coming. You just don't know what's going to happen on this earth. You just don't know what tomorrow holds. That's why I always say, don't live for this earth. Live for eternity. In other words, live like you're preparing for your future. Not the future on earth, but your future in heaven. Make sure your relationship with God is right. Make sure your expression is true and one of truth and real and honest and genuine and with the fear of the Lord. Are you with me? You know, don't get caught with all this nonsense. Verse 44, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when you least expect. Listen, right now everyone's expecting. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servants has done a good job, there will be a reward. Did you see that? I want you to know the way you deal with your walk on this earth, the way you deal with your salvation, what you do, how you express yourself, how you love one another, how you walk as a Christian, how you represent the King of Kings, and what you do with your salvation will affect your eternity. Yes, you save, but the way you spend eternity is affected by what you do with it. Verse 47, I tell you the truth. The master will put the servant in charge of all he owns. That's what will happen when you do when you do good with what he gives you. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. And listen, God seems to have a problem with getting drunk. I'm just saying. The master will return unannounced and unexpected and will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It doesn't sound very good, right? The fact of the matter is, guys, you need to, well, you know, Pastor Alex, you know, I'm going to get right in about a month's time, you know, in about a month, you know, I just got to finish that shady deal first. And, you know, just want to hang out at the bar two more times. And I remember when I got saved, I remember hearing about how demon spirits would jump on your shoulder. This is a true story. And when you would go into nightclubs, they would come and sit on your shoulder and try and influence you. Yeah. That there was a prophet that saw this. And I remember thinking, oh, you know, Thursday night, I've got plans. I'm going to a club, you know. I'm saved now, but, you know, just one more time. So I went to the club that night, and I remember feeling the darkness was so much stronger than before. That night, I got home, and I had a dream that these little green-looking demon spirits were trying to break into my room, and they were scratching on my door, trying to attack me. I remember waking up full in like a cold sweat. And like everything just began to change. Now, this wasn't actually before I went to a U group on the Tuesday night, and I was, you know, challenged and everything, but I hadn't really made that commitment. And then on that Sunday was the day that I really gave my heart to the Lord. I just completely broke down. But don't be someone that thinks that, you know, you can just continue to live a certain way and, you know, it'll be okay. There's still time. You don't know how much time we have. He could come today, he could come tomorrow, but most importantly, he could come for you now. You don't know. We just have no idea. That's why the one thing on this earth that I treasure more than anything are the people that I love. Because I don't know when I'm going to be taken from them. But everything else has no eternal value. So the only other thing that I do, and the most important thing that I do, is I make sure that him and I are right. That I'm fulfilling the purpose and the plan that he has for me. So that when I get to heaven, it'll be like, Lord, here I am. And I hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear when I get to heaven. But I want it to be, like I always say, I want it to be like one conversation to another. Are you with me, guys? So make sure that you are ready all the time. Make sure your life is right with God. And don't get into silly arguments and silly things. Please hear me out. I'm not saying that you're wrong. You might be right, but express yourself in a way so that it doesn't become nasty and ugly and the world looks. That neighbor that you're trying to minister to is watching you. Amen. The last day is like we've never heard it. One more story, Matthew 25, verse number 1. Most of you know the story. It's a very, very preached sermon, very preached, but it's just so appropriate for today. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins, Matthew 25, 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they thought they still had time. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Why? Because they were in relationship. They kept their oils, their lamps oiled all the time. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins all came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Can you say amen? All right, 2 more scriptures. I'm almost done. Did I say that was the last one? It's because I forgot about these two. So what do I need to do to make sure that I'm ready today? First of all, I want you to know this. The Bible says in Matthew 6:34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Don't be in fear of tomorrow. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray. In other words, Lord, I just need what you have for me today. I need deliverance. I need healing. I need protection. I need salvation. I need to walk with you. I need to hear your voice. I need to be with you today, Lord. I need things of this world, food, clothing, my bills to pay. You know I need these things, but Lord, just help me get through today. So in other words, don't worry about tomorrow. What are you doing with today? What are you doing with your salvation today? The truth is that there is no guarantee for tomorrow. No one knows the day. No one knows the hour except the Father. So don't let anybody trick you or trap you. But Jesus made it very, very clear that we should always be ready. That's the important thing. That's the message. We can study eschatology. We can study the end times, and it's wonderful to do so, and we will. But how are you with him right now? Because right now, that's the question you should be asking. How are you with him right now? We all make mistakes, guys. We all do things wrong. There are times I do things, say things, I wish I didn't do it. So what can I do about it? Thank God that he made a way for us to go back to him always. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning. We just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us. Thank you, Lord, that your word is clear, that you are with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. And Father, there's been a lot of stuff going on. And yes, it might be really close to the end. We don't know for sure. But what your word is clear about is that we should be wise, like the wise woman that had their lamps filled with oil, or like the ones that were in the field that had known you and walked with you. And when it was time to go, you took them. Let us be like those, Lord. And I pray, Father, in this hour where there is so much turmoil in the world, let our expression be one of love. Let our expression be the way that Jesus would want it to be. Father, forgive us for our foolishness at times. We make mistakes all the time, Lord. I just ask this morning that no person would be led astray by things of this world that have been sent to distract us from what's really important. It's so clear that even in the Lord's Prayer, it's such a personal prayer. It's a personal prayer where we come to you and have intimacy with you. Lord, give us this day our daily bread so that we can draw from you, from the body, your body, Father, the body of Christ that was sent to save us and deliver us and heal us. I thank you, Father, for every person in this place, and I pray right now that no one will leave here that doesn't know you, that isn't right with you. And so I'm going to do something different this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come to the front or anything, but right there where you are in your seat, if you need to make right with God, please do so right now. If you need to repent for anything, do so right now. Remember, repentance is the gateway to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven. It's what opens everything up. Sometimes we don't even realize why it seems like the heavens have gone shut. Well, it's because we are deceived. How do we get ourselves out of that? By coming to God and saying, Lord, I repent. Father, I pray that you will cause this church, these precious people, to be an expression of your love, of light. Jesus said, I am the light of this world. And then he also said that we would be the light when he wasn't here. So I pray that we will let that light shine, Father. That we will let it shine. Thank you for your presence right now in this place. Just bow your heads for just a moment. Just begin to speak to the Lord right there where you are in your seat. Please, church, don't be deceived. Do what's most important. Just serve him and love him and follow him and obey his word. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, I'll change then, or I'll get married then. No, do it now. Do the right thing now. You don't know that tomorrow is guaranteed. When you'll stand before him and give an account for what you've done on this earth. And so, Father, I pray for great grace, great mercy, and your love to flood every person, every family. Restore brokenness. And so we give you thanks. We love you. We honor you. We praise and worship you in this place. And so I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with every one of you as you leave this place today. Go in the peace of the Lord, in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.